Don't go anywhere! Dungeons & Dragons will begin in a moment.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey, what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have, like, a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that I can access?
That'll
literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. Very good. She's very good.
And friendship.
Aww. New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi. I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
We hear the sound of the river and pan over top of the latest shipments that have come in. We're winding our way down the streets of the Artisan District, and we see Bonwin heading her way down towards the docks to pick up her latest shipment of ore, and we see Aladdin popping in and out of the store owner's fronts, slyly pocketing a fresh apple and some day-old scones. Making our way through, we hold on a very small door entrance packed between two other storefronts. On one side, the Snip and Twirl hair salon. And on the other, the Threads of Fate, the tailor, in Vintersmith. And right in between those two stores is the Magic Closet by Bizarre. Doesn't look like too much from the outside. Has a swinging sign out front denoting that this door, which looks like it might just be a stairwell, is in fact somewhat of a special shop. A magic shop. There's a couple of kids who rush up to the door and open it with a jingle of the bell, and they run inside. And to greet them, seated behind the desk, is Bizard the Wizard. Kyle, if you wouldn't mind describing Bizard.
Bizard is a, not a very robust man. He's fairly frail, and the appearance of his age far surpasses his actual age. He has a salt and pepper coiffed hair, of course, cut by the fantastic barbers over at the Snip and Twirl. And in his eyes, as he looks up from behind the counter, you can see his eyes are green with specks of gray in them. They kind of shift around as he looks. There is incense nearby that wafts through the air, leaving a pleasant aroma of cinnamon and apples and a touch of undescribable arcane essence that is just enticing. It really draws out the curiosity, especially of the younglings that are around town. He sits up behind his very narrow countertop with very narrow shelves. They go very high up. A lot of hooks going up close to the ceilings, maybe like 10 feet high, which for any instance that he needs to access it, a quick summoning of the magical specter hand, he will reach up and grab whatever the kids or whatever clientele need so that they don't have to worry about climbing too high. But he sits up from his book that he's reading, sets it down, puts the bookmark inside of it, closes it, says, "Ah, kids, hey, Y'all, I'll come back for some more of those good trick playing stuff. Y'all looking for some of those?
Yeah. Well, what do you got in new this week? Flashbang ones really, really scared my parents, and they said I can't come back in. So I've told them that I'm just gonna go get some milk and eggs. But what do you got in new?
Well, you don't have to lie to them about getting milk and eggs, because let me show you as I pull out a cauldron and place it on my countertop. I take some milks, I take some eggs, I mix it all together, and I throw in just this random bag of powder and whip it all together, and it becomes this, like, oozing gel that just coagulates together. He pulls it out of the pot with a slurping sound and lays it on the ground, and he says, "Fake throw up. Next time you want to fake ill and miss out on your lessons, you could use this and stay home to do whatever you want."
Ew, that's so gross.
I know, it's really gross.
They reach up and grab for it, and it's like slipping through their hands. It feels so real.
Oh, no. Don't actually throw up, please.
He reaches into his pocket, the little kid, and puts some money up on the counter and kind of starts trying to scoop it into his bag that he has on him.
Hopefully that will satiate your mischievous needs.
Oh, it absolutely will.
If you're looking for anything else, or you have friends that want to procure some fake vomit as well, tell them to come my way. And as long as they do, as long as they tell me your name, James, you can just go ahead and take that with you.
Thanks, Bizzard. And he runs out. I'll tell everyone. Come on, Sarah. Let's go.
Ta-ta, James. Have a great day, Sarah.
The two kids run out and doors slam shut behind them, which shakes a couple of the things on the wall. And we leave Bizzard, who heads behind his desk and returns to his book. Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons, a D&D 5th edition actual play podcast. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore, he, him. And Dungeons & Dragons stars today Kyle Classett as Bizzard the Wizard.
Believe me, I know where I got my green eyes, and I love them, and I want to hold on to them as long as I can, Mother.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production and supported by our patrons. Find out more at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where you can get access to a whole bunch of exclusive audio to fill the time after you're all caught up on this show. And now, fuck it, let's play! There is the monumentous sound of giant bells ringing. This is the bell at the tower of Barnhart Swan's School of Magic, Fighting, and Dance, which is found in Kingstown, a few days' journey from Wintersmith. And we are 10 to 12 years earlier from present time, and the huge, double-wide doors of the school burst open, and rushing down the main staircase are the latest graduates of the school's senior class. Everybody's cheering and throwing their caps in the air, and as they are all greeted by their parents and loved ones and whisked off to have a luxurious and decadent meal to celebrate their hard work, one student slowly exits. And that is Bizzard, who we see in a much younger form. Kyle, would you please describe Bizzard as he's walking out and down this this main staircase?
Yeah, Bizzard obviously shows the skin and complexion of a much younger man. His eyes are almost completely green. Only a few specks of gray dot them here and there. And his hair has only started to receive just tidbits of white here and there. Not coiffed. It's kind of a messy to-do as far as his hair goes. He can't tame it worth anything. But it hasn't been his focus. He is still, despite having graduated, nose in a book. Like, in fact, he probably should have returned it at this point. As he leaves the school, the book is snatched out of his hand, flies back through the double doors, and he goes, right. No tuition, no books. No tuition, no books. No point in spending more money there. Not that I had to spend any, but we're done there. We can move on to our own thing now that we've taken all the knowledge that we can from it and the time that they would give us. Should I say bye to my father? I should go see my mother. I will go see my mother. I can't leave without seeing my mom. My dad? We'll see. And he begins to make his way down the streets of Kingston to a small restaurant. Kind of a hole-in-the-wall kind of place. And he walks into the back door. And there you see a scullery maid. She turns around. She's got a white cap tied on like a bonnet and has auburn hair. And she turns around. A lazy eye kind of looks towards Bizard. And Bizard says, Clara, mother, today was my graduation day. And I understand that you were unable to get off work to come celebrate it with me. And I wanted to let you know that I understand.
I know, Biz. I'm so sorry. I tried to get it off. You know how it is around here. I'm the only one on this shift. I'm sorry.
I understand. And if Dad was worth his salt, then you wouldn't be in this position. But I don't want you to worry. I will be leaving Kingston. I plan to head to Wintersmith.
Wait, what? You're leaving Kingston?
Yes, I'm leaving Kingstown. I plan to hand to...
When?
Right. Probably after I get done talking to you, if I can make up my mind whether I even want to see Father or not.
Well, he was at home when I left. He was passed out. Like, he's not ever going to know you were there.
That sounds about right. It's either the chemicals from the hats, or more than likely the drink. I want you to know, Mom, that wherever I go, you know, the plan is Wintersmith. I'm not sure how long I will be there, or if my ventures will be successful. Regardless of where I end up, regardless of where I go and what I do, I plan to do what I can to alleviate any future stress for your life. I don't want you doing this as any more than you have to.
Oh, Biz, don't worry about me. You get yourself set up. Anything you can do, I'll of course be more than grateful, but I've lasted this long. It's going to take a lot to get me to see the darker side of life.
I've always appreciated your outlook on life. I feel like it is what encouraged me to seek after my passions. I know I didn't do a lot of things kids did around town, and early on cloistered myself away in the libraries and different archives that the city has to offer the public. So thank you for encouraging me. It's only through your words that I had the resolve to get myself into school. And he has a sly, like, smile and kind of like a squint of like, kind of betraying the nature of his method of getting into school.
Yeah.
But I also, I don't want Father to know that I'm sending you money.
Okay, well.
It's for you. It's not for him.
Okay, well, if we're to keep it from him, maybe you don't send it to the house. Maybe you send it, you can send it here.
Yes, actually, I've already had a conversation with the owner. We are going to make it as a part of your payment. We'll send it to him. He will forward it on to you through your compensation. That way you don't have to worry about any taxation or any issues, and he is going to also doctor any kind of payroll in case Father were to become wise.
You're too good to me, Biz. Your father and I, when you signed up at that school, we hear about the dangers of playing with magics. It worried me, and it infuriated him, but you've got a real chance, Biz.
I recognize this.
I want you to be safe, okay? I know you have the skill. I know you... I've seen it. I know you. I've seen it. It astonishes me every time you pull out one of your wild tricks, but I want you to be safe and use it only when you need to, right? Because you've seen some of those old guys up in the tower. They shouldn't be that worn. The only reason they're still standing is because they work at that tower.
That's true. You're right. And I know I have received some of the graying in my eyes that accompanies the use of magic. Believe me, I know where I got my green eyes, and I love them, and I want to hold on to them as long as I can, Mother.
She steps forward to you and puts a hand on your cheek and just looks at you in the eye and says, write to me when you get there and let me know you're okay. And then every week, okay?
Will do.
I'll write back when I can, but if you don't hear from me, like, it's going to be okay.
I've trusted you so far in life, and I'm going to continue to trust you. I know you can take care of yourself, and if I'm able to offer any kind of help, I appreciate you taking it. You'll know where I'll be. Ventersmith first, and I'll communicate if I have to go from there.
She pulls you into a deep hug, and there's just like a catch in her throat. She pats you on the back and gives a little cough. And, well, if you're going to get going, you might as well go now. Swing by home and get some of your things if you need. Just make sure you keep quiet, okay?
I'll do my best. I'll try not to rouse the old codger, but we know how he is. And I feel at least I have a better handle on things than I used to. So, I love you, Mom. And I'll talk to you soon.
I love you too, Biz. You hear a call from the other room and it says,
Clara, we need your help!
I gotta go. I'll wait for your letter when you get there and be safe. She kisses you on the forehead and turns and leaves the room quickly.
I kind of wipe a tear out of my eye and make my way out the back door, head down the road, and follow the all-too-familiar smell of the acrid chemicals that my father uses in his haberdashery to create hats for all those pompous nobles that he tries to hobnob with. Make my way into the door as quietly as I can.
We'll be right back. It's the middle.
Welcome to the middle, everybody.
Oh, it's a
we're having a
special middle.
Great time. It's a special middle. Yes. We have normally when we have guests on, the guests are not in the middle, but Kyle's here with us.
I'm not a normal guest.
It's true. He's a regular cast member. In fact, I'm the one like sort of intruding here because I am not in this episode. Yeah. So it's kind of the Russ and Kyle show, and I love it.
Oh, dang. Well, look how the tables have turned.
Mm-hmm. Kyle's usurped us all.
Yeah, this is really just the slow move in. Like, yeah, Kyle's going to be here for a couple episodes. All right, bye, everybody. We'll get let you know when it's done.
Yeah, go on vacation.
Welcome
don't
to
worry
my
about
podcast.
It.
I'm glad you're all here. Fuck it. Let's play TNT.
Oh, no. I didn't bring my dice. Uh-huh. God. Yes, we're super happy to have Kyle back playing a character who's got deep backstory in this world, has been around for some time now, and we're excited to explore that more next week. Kyle, if you could sum up in a word how you feel the next episode will go without any spoilers. So now there's a lot of caveats to this. What would that word be?
Let me think. One word... unexpected.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yep. I think that's a good way to look at it. And Tom's here in the middle.
Tom just jumped into the middle.
Jumping right
into
that's
it.
Right. On the
you
fly.
Can't get Can't get rid of all of us, Kyle. Nice try.
Ah, you got me, you dastardly kids.
I would have got away with it if it wasn't for you kids.
And it wouldn't be a middle without Amy, who's slowly stumbling.
Also coming into the room. This is a slow reveal middle.
It's all happening.
Yep. She can't hear anybody, but that's fine. So we'll just wrap up this middle here to say that Kyle's here with us playing Bizzard the Wizard. And it's we're having a great time in this session. And if you want to hear more of Kyle with us, come join us at Patreon, patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where tonight as we record this, we're recording some super special bonus content that's going to be exclusive to patrons for a little bit at the very least until we decide what we're going to do with it. But it's going to be a blast.
It is. Oh, and not to mention, get on over there to Facing Fate. I came in late. I don't know if we talked about that already.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can go over to Facing Fate.
Well, yeah, because Kyle plays with us there.
Kyle plays with us over there too.
See? Yeah,
that's very true.
Like I came in and said something relevant. Everyone's eyes,
and we play
you guys.
Call
everyone
of Cthulhu.
Was like, "Where are you going with this?"
Yes,
yes, we play all sorts of things over there. Well, that's it. That's the middle. Everybody's here now, and that's where we say, "Enjoy the rest of the episode," and we'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Strange happenings are occurring in the world of Exandria. Slayed creatures and beasts from days of yore are returning to the land of the living, and it's up to a band of unlikely heroes to re-slay them. Welcome to the Re-Slayer's Take.
Join Jasmine Bular, Jasmine Chung, Jasper Cartwright, and Caroline Lux alongside Game Masters Nick Williams and me, George Primavera, in this Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition role-playing adventure through Critical Role's fantasy world of Exandria. But don't worry, you won't need to know the rules to follow this story. All you need to know is that nothing the players do is scripted or planned, and their fates are determined by their own cleverness and the roll of a 20-sided die.
So what the heck are you waiting for? Adventure awaits in the Re-Slayer's Take.
New episodes drop weekly on Mondays wherever you stream your podcasts.
Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
You enter through the living room, and before you head upstairs, you quietly close the door, and you look around, and you see your father. You pause for a moment just to make sure that you haven't stirred him, but he's in a deep slumber. He's got a loose-leaf newspaper just kind of over the chest, falling onto the ground, and there's a bottle on the table that is, you know, two-thirds empty. He's in a deep snore as you, if you choose to, move towards the staircase.
Yeah, I'm going to move my way towards the staircase as quietly as I can, minding the creaky boards that I know from early on in my life.
You want to roll stealth with advantage? Because you've done this many times.
Oh, yeah. Stealth with advantage, rolled a 10 and 11, so that gives me a 13 total.
13. All right. Yeah, you're minding the staircase. You get near the near to the top, and there's a slight creak as you would expect. Mm. You move your foot just beyond. You slink into your bedroom as you hear the rumbling snores from downstairs. I'm not picturing you have a lot of things in this space.
No. Maybe some childhood, like my one childhood toy, which is honestly just a miniature version of a bookshelf that I kept miniature books on. I enjoyed that. I was like, I've got my own little library. This is enjoyable. Maybe I'll do this when I grow up. gather my traveling clothes. Of course, I go ahead and change out of my graduation garbs. And I leave those on the bed. I leave them behind. I don't take them with me. I go ahead and don my traveling gear and clothes. I'll pick up some food on the way out from some of the, some of the patisseries and whatnot that I know of around town before I leave. And gather paper, quill, ink, and the first book that I ever checked out from a library, The Legend of the Bladesinger. Supposedly, it's a mix of fiction and nonfiction. Like, at the heart of the story, there's truth, but it has been romanticized to make it more palatable for the non-scholarly. But it's what fueled my initial desire to learn more, because I could read between the lines.
You pack these up in your satchel and go to leave your room, and you still hear the snores echoing up the staircase. And you make your way back down to the front entryway. You haven't stirred your father. In fact, he makes a big cough as you go to reach for the door, and you see him kind of flip over and the newspapers go everywhere. He's nearly falling off the couch itself.
Seems to have taken to the bottle a little bit more today. I guess he didn't have any clientele coming through, so let's see if we can make one more run at the register. And I go over to the cash register behind the counter in an attempt to secure myself a few more traveling funds before I head out.
What's the mechanism, if there is one on the register? Is it just a drawer? Is it like, is there any sort of physical?
Oh yeah, I'm imagining like a full-on register. Like, either I've got to get the key, which right. I know is on his person, or I've got to be deft enough to hit the no sale button and silence the bell in time.
Right. So which one are you going to try to do here?
He seems inebriated enough to, I don't know, if the creak at the top of the stairs didn't wake him up, me opening and closing my door didn't catch him, it might be best to go for the key. I'm not as quick as others, but I trust in his inebriation more than I trust in my own dexterity. So, the key it is. And I go over and He's always got like an overcoat on, and the key is always kind of tied to an inside button, and which is it's the worst method of holding it on there, because really it's not tied to the button, it's looped, but the button being on the inside breast pocket, little complicated. Still a better bet than trying to keep a bell quiet that's going to automatically ring. So I move my way over and start to slowly lift the breast pocket and reach my hand in to pilfer the key.
Make a sleight of hand check, please.
I bet I'm bad at that, too. That's a 12.
Okay. You turn your back to the door, and this all crosses through your mind, and you make your way over, and you pull open the overcoat, which is loose enough that you're able to find the key, but it is tied on. So you begin to loosen the knot itself, and there's another cough that comes from your old man, and he stirs. Which you put your hands up to give him a moment to see if he settles.
And it appears that he has fallen back into slumber as you go back for the key. And just as it loosens and you are pulling the key out, there's a swift movement of his hand as he reaches for you. Make a dexterity saving throw for me.
That's a 19.
Okay. In his state, he, your big hand reaches. Sorry, we haven't really just described your father. Bigger man, I'm picturing.
Yeah, he's a bigger man, for sure. Name is Terry. Okay. And has like pit stains usually. Of course, like chemicals have right. changed the color of his garments that he wears and everything. He is always wearing one of his own hats, regardless of how ridiculous and unstylish it is, but he's always trying to sell it off.
Of course.
But yeah, big hairy forearms, you know, thick calloused hands from accidentally stabbing himself while drinking and making hats.
Yeah, this big hand comes and reaches for you, and you see it coming. He's not moving fast. He's inebriated. He's just waking up, and he paws wide, kind of just bumps up against your leg, and you have the key in hand, though, and he's stumbling down, saying, "I'm gonna get you, Gudge! Get back here!" And he's fallen onto the ground, and he's trying to scramble up. What do you do?
I stop, and I kind of just go... Terry, you are a mess of a man. How I managed to become who I am with you as a father is absolutely beyond my understanding. And I actually graduated from a very prestigious school, which the fact that it confounds me should speak volumes alone. You've missed the taxation payment yet again. I found the note, and I'm gonna go ahead, take the taxes out of the till, go to the clerk, and take care of it for you. I will put the key back whenever I return home. Go back to sleep, Terry.
Clearly going for deception at this point.
Oh, yeah.
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 Roll deception with advantage. He's stumbling, trying to get up, and looking at you like, what are you talking about?
The 16.
Says that's one good thing you've done since you've been born, son. You make sure it's paid, or I'll find you.
Absolutely.
He kind of slumps down on the ground.
Clean yourself up.
You clean yourself up. He reaches for the bottle and kind of straightens his overcoat, which is all over the place. Puts his hat back on his head that had fallen on the ground and takes a big swig.
I make my way over to the till, use the key, open it up, and I take half of what's in there. Whatever that may be. Grab an envelope, just in case he's looking, slip it in there, write a note on the outside of it, slip it into my traveling jacket pocket, and leave the key on the desk. And I look at him and say, I'll be back by dinner time, Terry. I leave.
You hear just a grumble. It's incoherent and nonsensical as he yells and the door slams shut, and you take 2 gold and 5 silver.
Not a bad haul. Not a bad haul.
You make your way through the streets of Kingstown, which are bustling with people, and everybody's kind of shoulder to shoulder, bumping through this part of town. And you make your way towards the main city gates, which extends over a small stream. The guards, they don't stop you. There's lots of people coming and going. There's shipments coming on a carriage and many people heading out to do whatever jobs or adventures they see themselves fit to do. One of the guards catches your eye and gives you a nod. You recognize him just from being around town, but don't really know him. And as you go over the stream and up top of this large hill that oversees the entire sprawling metropolis behind you, there's big plumes of smoke coming up from the larger industrial-style buildings and manufacturing plants. And you see the school, which is framed high on a street on top of a hill inside the city with a large bricked wall around it to keep the, grounds contained. You give one final look at the town behind you and head out on the road
towards Ventersmith.
I give a sigh of contentment as I turn around and jump in the air, do a heel click, and say, let's make some magic.
Dungeons & Dragons, Season 3, Episode 10. This episode starred Kyle Classett as Bizarre the Wizard, and Russ Moore as your Dungeon Master. Also, Amy, Tom, and Carla were hanging out in the middle there. Dialogue editing by Carla Maxted and sound design by Russ Moore. This episode featured music from Epidemic Sound and sound effects from Epidemic Sound, Boom Library, and Sound Ideas. Our amazing cover art and character designs are by Matt Garbutt. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Jessica Babiak, Kat Waterflame, Jacob Madden, Christian Brown, Craig Zeiss, Perry Mady, Ongeron Kiersen, Old School Gamer D, L.A. Branton, Nathaniel Teeter, Luna, and Aaron. And a huge thank you to Kat Waterflame for the shop name Snip and Twirl and the Magic Closet, as well as French-Canadian Will for the shop name The Threads of Fate. We're building the little street corner there where Bizard is spending some time. We'll find out more about that in the next episode, I'm sure. Hey, if you want to contribute to this world, we need you! Patreon.com/DumbDragonCast. And you can submit names and places and a whole bunch of other stuff like slang, which we haven't really got into, but the city slang like fills out the world for us. You can do that over at Patreon, plus a whole bunch of other bonus content. We've got another one with Kyle coming next week, and it's going to be a great time, and then I think we're all together, and it's going to be even better. Fun stuff. All right. We'll talk to you soon, everybody. Have a great week. We love you. Bye.
There is a monumental. There is the monumentous sound of a bell. I don't know which one sounds better, but I have them both now.
You got them both.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Curious Matter Anthology, the multi-award-winning hit fiction podcast, is back for a brand new season.
Please proceed to a customs terminal for processing.
This summer, take the journey to the Red Planet in The Exile.
What'd you have to do to piss off a whole planet?
I'm not really sure how to answer that.
Tiffany Smith stars as ex-Earth federal agent Bryce Gordon.
Put on a badge and it becomes a shield against all of this.
The Exile features an all-star cast. Phil Lamar, Trace Lissette, Kevin Smith.
It's not just the atmosphere that's changing. There's a storm on the horizon.
Trisha Helfer, Malcolm Barrett, Todd Stashwick, Eugene Bird.
You want a war to the sand right here.
Tracy Toms, Colin Ferguson, Raymond Lee, and Jolly Bamani, Caitlin Bassett, and many more.
Mars, humanity's great endeavor.
Disperse immediately. This is an unlawful assembly.
But it had come to symbolize something else.
We should be out there helping these people, not putting them in mines.
Reaching on three!
Nothing free. No air we don't steal, no food we don't take, no water that ain't recycled from our blood and piss.
We are Mars! And Mars is war!
Curious Matter Anthology, Season 3, The Exile. Available wherever you listen to podcasts June 18th, with early access and ad-free listening available exclusively on Apple Podcasts starting June 4th.